Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, it is a early morning recording of the Nolcast, but want to put a conversation together where we just kind of recap real quickly as far as what the product or byproduct was of Florida State's Junior Days, give people a little bit of idea as far as what you've seen out on the recruiting trail. And just if you weren't with us last year, or in years past, normally we do two or three shows about the upcoming class immediately after signing day, and then it's not as though we leave recruiting, but it's not necessarily our focus on every podcast from this point moving forward. Do want to give people just a baseline knowledge of what's out there with the class of 2018, some of the kids you've seen, and just give you kind of a rough draft of the prospects that Florida State will pursue and the prospects that would potentially make up next year's class. So don't want to lose people in the minutiae of recruiting, but do want to give just give an idea as to what's out there and some of the names you'll be hearing over the next 360 days.
Glad to be back with you, buddy. And last week we were both sick because you got sick and I go around all these camps and I try not to do the handshake. I try to dap it up. Instead, so that I avoid touching your hand. But what my wife brought up, and I think she's right, is that, like, if you're sick, pretty sick, you'll probably stay home from work. If you're one of these kids who's desperate for a scholarship offer, even if you're sick as a dog, you're coming out to this event. So she's like, the people you're interacting with, there's probably a good chance that some of them really should not be there because they're too sick to be there. And so, yeah, I ended up getting a really bad sinus infection. I usually get about one a year. Also spurred on by some allergies. So we are back. Glad to be back. Been doing a little barbecuing, and let's jump into this. But first, let's talk about something that's hot, Ingram. And FSU is hot on the recruiting trail. But so is Louisiana Hot Sauce, our title sponsor for the show for yet another year. A great product. Not too hot. That's what I like about it probably the most, is that it's a correct amount of heat, right? I never shake it and think, oh man, that's going to be too hot for my meal, but I'm going to need to turn it up. A couple more shakes. Not all hot sauces are like that. Some are, you know, you kind of be like, I don't know, don't want to use this. It might be too hot for my meal. I like Louisiana. It's got a great blend and just three simple ingredients, peppers, vinegar, and salt.
It's a great product. Something that I use daily, used last night in the beginning of a meal prep, let all the flavors that I was working with kind of come together, put in a pan, cooked for 30 minutes on heat, let it sit for 30 minutes. And what you had was just a nice little presence of flavor in every bite, not anything that's overpowering, like you mentioned, just a really nice, smooth, kind of a subtle heat and a simple flavors as far as composition, but a little bit of a complex taste that it can give a dish that otherwise you might find to be a little boring. So a great product, as we've always said, something that we are authentically excited to get behind, and something that is as economical as anything you're going to find as far as you know, what it costs you to apply to a meal. And, you know, there's no better thing out there that I can think of that two or three pennies, it'll set you back to improve what you put on your table. So please do keep them in mind. We've had incredible feedback, incredible response, everything from just as simple as units sold in the footprint that our podcast covers to social media interaction. It's been a great partnership, and really excited to work with them moving forward, and just want to thank the listenership as always. We wouldn't be able to have the two great sponsors that we do without them, and really look forward to working with Louisiana in the future. Speaking of future, Bud, I know you've been traveling around. I know we've had two junior days here, and just starting to get an idea as to some of the names that will populate the recruiting board when it comes to 2018 for Florida State.
All right, so let just to fill the listeners in, 4 weeks ago, I was in Houston at the Nike camp. 2 weekends ago, I was in Orlando at the Nike camp. And then last weekend, a couple days ago here, I was in Miami for the Nike camp. This upcoming weekend, I will be in Miami for the Under Armour camp, actually trying to catch some kids who might have been at the Pylon 7-on-7 tournament in Vegas, which from what I understand is just a complete cluster. So I'm kind of glad I didn't go. Xavier Thomas, number one defensive end in the country from South Carolina at IMG. I did not mention FSU to me. I try to ask open-ended questions, not FSU questions, right? Because I feel like if you ask a kid about a certain school, oftentimes they will intuit that they're supposed to say good things about that school. Mm-hmm. So when I talk to the kids, I always try to ask them as open-ended questions as possible. And once they mention the school, I'll often ask for a follow-up about that school. So Xavier Thomas, Clemson, South Carolina at the top. Maybe Bama, did not mention FSU. I don't think FSU's really in there. For a while, he did like FSU a lot. That was very early on in his recruitment. So that's why I bring him up. He's also an interesting prospect. I'm not sure that I like him as like a number one overall type kid. He's 6'2 and a half, 263. Mm-hmm. Very powerful. Get off is good. Doesn't have great length, you know, like a better DeMarcus Walker. But would you have put DeMarcus Walker as the number one prospect in the country? No. I mean, very happy with him being a five-star, but I don't know if he's national number one overall good. We'll see. I think there's a, you know, maybe the length is the thing that would hold him back in my mind from being that. Pat Surtain Jr., I'm going to skip over Micah Parsons since I don't think he's mentioned FSU at all recently, Penn State commit. Pat Surtain Jr., you guys might remember the name and you might feel really old.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
This one, for whatever reason, makes me feel old as hell, bud. But that's just my comment when looking at that kid and his name in particular. Stanford Samuels, not so much. Pat Surtain Jr., yes, beginning to feel pretty damn old over here.
Some people feel he is the best corner to come out of South Florida since Patrick Peterson.
That is a hell of a that's a statement, certainly.
I mean, he's 6'2", a buck 85, mm-hmm. and a freak athletically. But I was real disappointed because I saw him walk up 2 days ago at the Nike camp, and he was on crutches. And I was like, Pat, man, what happened? And he said, I partially tore my hamstring at a track meet, so I'm going to miss 6 to 8 weeks and hoping to be back for spring ball. That sucks. Now, as for his recruitment, he told me at the Future 50 event in January that it was LSU and FSU. I asked him, hey, anything different? Because I don't want to bug these kids all the time. You know what I mean? I feel like that makes them resent you, and then you don't get good interviews 8 months from now if you're constantly texting them and asking, hey, any changes? Right. Any changes?
Yeah. But, yeah, winning February of the year before they sign, as far as updates, is not a particularly lucrative proposition for somebody in your business. It's much better to have consistency in relationship.
Exactly. So, you know, but I said, okay, this has been 8 weeks. And he's maybe taken some visits. Let me ask him. And I said, hey, is it still LSU, FSU? And he's like, yeah, still LSU, then FSU. So the way he said that, LSU, then FSU, implied to me that LSU was on top for him. That makes sense. Obviously, loves Patrick Peterson. Corey Raymond is a great recruiter for LSU in South Florida. More importantly, a ton of family from New Orleans. His dad is from New Orleans. He's got family in New Orleans, family in Baton Rouge, family in Southern Mississippi. Obviously, his dad went to Southern Miss and family in Houston. I think he's going to LSU. He'd be a great get for FSU. I think it's an encouraging sign that FSU is like strongly in the conversation here. And maybe they'll be able to pull him. That'd be a hell of a pull. It'd probably be the best corner they've pulled since Jalen Ramsey. So that's, you know, pretty high praise for the kid. Assuming he bounces back from a hamstring, which I have no reason to think he wouldn't. Mentioned a couple other schools as far as like, you know, I might visit Ohio State, Clemson, I think Georgia. But it was pretty clear. And I know he told another outlet, I think SEC Country or something, that it'd be a shock if he went anywhere else other than LSU and FSU. So about as good position as you can be in there, considering all his ties to the New Orleans area.
Absolutely. In your opinion of him, do you think he would be a kid that would, if LSU were to come out and not have a spectacular year, that would weigh in his equation? I think sometimes people probably put too much stock into results, particularly results of a kid's senior year. But you know, there's certainly been some elements of instability around that program in the past couple of years. Is he somebody that would have the results of his senior year necessarily weigh heavily on what he ultimately decided to do?
Maybe so. I think it would depend on how LSU does this year, like you mentioned. Now, keep in mind, Inger, remember when LSU bitched so much about the storm that came through and how they wanted to play the game and they didn't want to move their game and whatnot, and they ended up playing in Baton Rouge.
The game this is with this Florida, year. Right? Yeah.
You know what that means? LSU has 5 SEC road games this year. Mm-hmm. Now one of them's at Ole Miss, so you know, but still, that was interesting, by the way. Huh? Very yeah. Not your burden to bear.
Yeah. Sending a bunch of text messages sending a bunch of tweets when your coach, you know, challenging people to take their issues to compliance if you're doing anything wrong is a bold move in general, but particularly if in fact you've got some stuff that may come out later on down the road.
Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah, that's the truth. Don't be super greedy. Just be desirably greedy. Reasonably greedy. I believe that's a good term.
And progressively greedy. Like, don't go from a recruiting class in the 50s to a top 3 recruiting class.
Yeah, right. In one year. You want to show that momentum, that positive trajectory. That's a good point as well.
Exactly.
Bud, that's a decent look at Surtain Jr. there. Who's the next kid? Another IMG product, defense tackle?
Yeah, Teron Vincent made his way up to Florida State for junior day. And from all accounts, FSU's in a great spot for him as well. I don't think it's news to any recruit Nick out there, but we have a lot of people who are just kind of dipping their toe in the water for the 2018 recruiting class, and it's very understandable. Teron Vincent, 6'2", 290, 295-ish, the son of Troy Vincent, longtime NFL player, also for a while the head of the NFL Players Association. Mm-hmm. So a kid who you can expect to be very informed about his recruitment. This is a Florida State-Ohio State battle, and one that I think is going to be very hard fought. Obviously, I think Greg Schiano will play into this, certainly. And I think Florida State's relationship, Odell Higgins, is going to play in this very well. And I like where FSU sits here. Not saying I'm totally predicting him to FSU, but arguably the number 1 defensive tackle in the country, certainly, I think a top 25, top 30 player. Got to like your chances there.
Where is he originally from before moving to IMG?
I thought it was Philadelphia, but it might be Baltimore. Let me Google this real quick.
East Coast, from, Mid-Atlantic kid.
The Gilman School. Yeah, that's in Baltimore.
Good deal.
So, all right, his dad played for the Eagles for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right, okay. I do remember that.
Next would be Taraja Mitchell, the number 1 inside linebacker, I think, in the country, or at least up there, out of Bishop Sullivan. Edgar, you may remember a player who went to Bishop Sullivan who was very recently signed with FSU.
Yes, you may. Virginia Beach in general has been, or that area of Virginia has been wildly kind to Florida State, and be very interesting. I believe you're referencing Laybourne, if I have my Virginia high schools correct.
Correct.
But it is it's an area that's just a ridiculous incubator of talent. Has been that way for forever. When you look at that area, you look at football players. Sure, you can also look at track, basketball, boxing. It's just it's probably as much of a hotbed for really talented athletes as anywhere in this country. Why is another conversation, but the Mitchell kid is somebody that I've heard about for 2 or 3 years now. He's going to be one of the bigger names in this year's class. I think he's ranked you know, he's a top 20, top 25 national prospect, depending on where you look, but it is considered the, at least currently anyway, the number one inside linebacker in the country. And Bud, where do you think Florida State stands with Mitchell?
I still think they're on top for Mitchell. Now, he did recently tweet, obviously this is the kid who announced his top 10 with a birthday cake, which is pretty cool, or top 11, but I'm usually anti-top 11 or top 10, but if you announce with a birthday cake, that's pretty cool. He recently tweeted that he is going to visit LSU, which is his, quote, dream school. But he has said glowing things about Florida State seemingly forever. I like Mitchell a lot, by the way, because he's listed at like 230, 235, but he doesn't look it. You know, he's very compact and looks very trim to be that size. I think he's an excellent player, and I really like FSU's shot for him. James Cook, running back, you guys might remember, the little brother of Dalvin. Not the same player that Dalvin is, different stylistically. Got to chat with him for a while. Sunday? Man, I got to tell you, he was so tired of doing interviews. These idiots before me in the interview line asked him like 30 questions. They're like, what do you bench? What do you squat? Like, dude, they were running down like his entire workout, and he's like standing out there. The sun is in his eyes. I'm like, can you move him like underneath the pavilion so maybe he's not like having to close his eyes to talk to you jackasses? Anyway, when I got to talk to him, I was going to shoot a video with him, but he really wasn't in the mood to do any more interviews. So I was like, hey, so what's the latest? Because I had seen him at, I think, Future 50. So, you know, how much has really changed in 7 weeks for these kids? For the most part, not that much. And he was like, yeah, I'm still committed to FSU. All right, who's recruiting you the hardest outside FSU? Miami. Anybody else? Yeah, Florida, Georgia, and then maybe USC because his cousin Jamel Cook, who used to be an FSU commit, he's a safety or receiver or whatever out there in LA. I said, all right, this is stupid, but what percentage committed are you to FSU? Are you 100%? He's like, I think I'm like 80. And so, of course, people kind of flipped out about that and 80% and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And my general thought on that is this. Do you really think Florida State's going to lose Dalvin Cook's little brother after the letter that Dalvin Cook wrote?
I was going to say, there's a certain letter that made its way to the internet yesterday that I would think would calm people's concerns if they want to really delve into the 80% number too much. And hey, look, just speaking hypothetically, Cook has a great year, decides he doesn't want to go in his brother's shadow, wants to go to USC to play ball. Good for you, James. Best of luck to you. You know, Dalvin was Dalvin. I could certainly understand that. And quite honestly, if Florida State were to lose a position anywhere on the depth chart right now, a talented kid, I think running back's probably the place they could stomach it. So between the two things, the letter was incredible and something, honestly, that I plan to mention either this podcast or next as far as just a authenticity surrounding it. And as far as a recruiting perspective, James Cook, ridiculous talent. Again, talking about a five-star running back with the last name of Cook. Everybody's going to want that kid to ultimately make his way to Tallahassee. But if there's anywhere on this roster right now where you could potentially have a kid go elsewhere, running back's probably the place that you would potentially even want it to be if you were to have to choose a position for something like that to happen.
100%. And let's think about this. I asked James, I said, do you care? Did they sign, you know, three of the top backs in the country? He said, no, not really. All right. If he actually does care, and if he sees what they do this year and says, man, I'm not going to get to play, guess what? If a five-star kid thinks he's not going to get to play, that means the guys you signed in the 2017 class are just taking initials because they ain't got time to take names. You know, if that comes to pass, it's like, oh, there's too much competition there. That means you got hit with the three dudes you signed. That means Cam Akers might be the next Dalvin Cook. You know, if Dalvin's little brother is actually worried about playing time, which I don't think he is at this point, you know, I'm not too worried about James Cook either way.
Taking initials because they ain't got time to take names. Well done, sir. Next kid is a prospect that was recently on campus down in Tallahassee. Another five-star here talking about Anthony Linton from Marlboro, Maryland, Upper Marlboro.
I think he's definitely a top five corner nationally. Some people think he's number one. I don't. I think that's Surtain, personally. But an excellent prospect out of Maryland. Came down, FSU got him on campus. FSU is the favorite here. They lead, and I think he's going to sign with FSU. I guess Clemson and Penn State are the competition at this point, but I don't know anybody who thinks he's going anywhere else other than FSU, so...
Hey. Right, yeah. This of all the kids that we're talking about is probably the most surefire thing for Florida State. Made his way to Tallahassee. Also, am I correct in saying that he brought his parents with him?
Yes.
So always a good sign, particularly this early in the process, to see the parental involvement. And that would be a kid that I would be shocked if his signature went anywhere other than Tallahassee.
I totally agree. Next kid is going to be receiver Brennan Eagles, who I got to see back in Houston. The update on Brennan Eagles, and I don't think FSU is going to get him, but just he released his final top 10. All right, final, Ingram.
Final top 10.
Yeah.
Good.
Which, hey, I'm cool with because that means you're not dropping top 10s in like August. So get these top 10 nonsense out of the way now and then get it down to like a top 3 or top 5 because, no, I don't think anybody's really truly considering 10 schools, but maybe they are. FSU made the top 10. So did Texas and Texas A&M and Oklahoma. I think he'll be a tough kid to pull out of Houston. Trey Hill out of Warner Robins, Georgia, Houston County. Interesting how they say it's Houston there, you know?
Yes.
I think a lot of people would pronounce that Houston, but it is Houston.
It is Houston, and it's one of the ways you could certainly tell if you're talking to a somebody that's familiar with the area. It's also, if you ever go to New York City, there's a prominent street called Houston Street that you would also think is Houston, and I believe is actually named after the same family. But yeah, that is how you pronounce that there, Houston County. If you're in the recruiting business, you'll become real familiar with how to pronounce it. Always an area that's got ridiculous kids coming every, at least every other year out of it.
Indeed. I have not spoken to Trey Hill. So the last time I talked to him, I think was Feature 50 or maybe something after that. But I haven't talked to him the last couple of weeks. Last check, it was still kind of an FSU-Georgia battle, I believe. So we'll move on from that.
This is just a point of reference. Jake Fromm, Georgia's quarterback, really highly thought of quarterback last year, played with Hill and what's his quarterback, and I'd be surprised to see him go anywhere other than Athens, but a kid that Florida State's certainly been in on for a while.
Definitely. Next kid I want to talk about is William Barnes out of Apopka. Told me that it was Florida State and Florida, maybe a couple other schools up there for him. He's an offensive tackle, 6'4", 3'10". Good size. He surprised me a little bit. He was actually a little bit better than I thought he was going to be in the camp setting. So that was an encouraging thing. I went into it thinking, okay, I don't know how good this kid is. He's very highly rated, but I don't know. Just the film didn't always blow me away. But I talked to him for a while. Very bright kid. Now, I think Florida is his true leader. I know he mentioned FSU. I know he visited FSU. And I know he said nice things about FSU. However, he grew up a huge Florida fan. His favorite player in football is who? Tim Tebow. And he plays for Apopka, which if you're good and you're at Apopka, you will oftentimes go to Florida, including Martez Ivey, their Florida's left tackle right now. That's kind of an uphill battle for FSU, I think. Next kid I want to talk about, is before we take our break for our sponsor, is Josh Moore. Joshua Moore, who was from Yoakum in Texas, but has transferred to IMG. His brother, Jordan Moore, twin brother, is not transferring to IMG. So he's going to stay at Yoakum. He's an A&M commit. Joshua Moore is a kid FSU's very strongly in on. And I think the comparison here, and I don't throw this around lightly, is Rashad Greene. You know, he's skinny. He's 6'5", 6'1", 155. All right, but very quick, very smooth, understands how to set people up, can go up and get the football. Not the strongest kid, obviously, if you're 155 pounds, that's inherent. But just the quickness, man, he is so quick. Very few people could stick with him at either the Houston camp or the Orlando camp. Going to need to get better at getting off the press, obviously. That'll help as he improves technique. I think he'll get that at IMG. And as he adds size, which, again, I think he'll also get at IMG. As far as his recruitment, came up to Florida State, loved it. Plans to go back, I believe, with mom in a couple weeks. If that happens, I think there's a chance that he could pop. But I will say this, I'm not quite as confident on Josh Moore to FSU as some folks are, because every time I talk to him, he keeps talking up Ohio State. And both weekends I've seen him recently, he has came decked out in all Ohio State gear, like Ohio State socks, Ohio State sandals, Ohio State windbreaker jacket, all that kind of stuff. So people tweeting at me were like, oh, are you kidding me? He's all FSU. I'm like, well, get him some gear. You know, the kid talks very highly about Ohio State. Even if he commits, I still think you're going to have a battle on your hands, because I think he's probably going to go visit Ohio State at some point, you know, again. Mm-hmm. And just something to keep an eye on there. Ingram, somebody, you know, we know he's very high on Florida State. You know what we're high on? Madison Social.
We're real high on our friends at Madison Social. Absolutely. Excited to continue our relationship with them. Madison Social, somebody that's going to come on board with us throughout the process of the year, or the entirety of the year, which is a big step forward for us and a great tool to be able to allow us to bring a higher level of product more consistently throughout the course of the season. Madso has been as good of a partner as we could ever hope for. Now we don't necessarily have to contain our conversation to Madso in particular. Also have Centrale, which has been a massive success and a great addition to the Tallahassee scene. And it's just what they do there with the For the Table group, three exceptional restaurants. Great catering service if that's something that you guys would need, whether it be for a you know, whether it be for like a fraternity organization or something like that, or a larger party. Always keep I believe it's called Social Catering in mind, and they've just been an incredible partner for us. And as we've said from the beginning of basketball season, always if you're in the Tallahassee area, if you're part of our Tallahassee listenership, certainly keep them in mind. It's as good of a place as there is in Tallahassee to go and watch what has been an interesting basketball team to watch, a team that we haven't forgotten about by any means, but a team that got a nice little road win there, and the road games in particular are a great setting to go over and take advantage of what Madison Social has to offer.
And, Ingram, something I want to talk about today, you mentioned Central. Have you tried this skinny Italian that they have, the sandwich?
I have not tried it. It looks pretty damn good, but I honestly can't tell the listenership that I've taken part in that.
You know,
as of now,
it looks like they take a loaf of Italian bread and they really cut it down skinny. And I'm not sure if that's why they call it the skinny Italian. We'll have to have Matt on the show to ask him. But they load this thing up with a lot of fresh veggies, meats, marinara. I mean, I think in here I'm seeing peppers, spinach. It looks really good. And I like it that you can eat a sandwich for lunch at Central, but you don't eat like a whole loaf of bread, which is going to make you feel, you know, kind of sluggish for your last 4 or 5 hours of the workday. So you can go there, you can get a couple servings of veggies, get some quality meats, and get, you know, something to hold it with that doesn't weigh down your hand too much. That's pretty cool. They're always doing great ideas. If you guys like trivia, definitely check out Madison Social's Twitter or Instagram page. That's just Madison Social. Pretty easy to find. They all have a great Great trivia program as well. So pretty cool there, and really glad that they're back on with us for another year, keeping the number one FSU podcast going.
Absolutely, absolutely. Really lucky with our relationship there, and look forward to working with them in the future. Bud, we don't have too many names left on the list, but who else is it that you wanted to just give the listeners a baseline idea as to where Florida State stands?
Yeah, so let's talk Robert Cooper here.
It's big old Robert Cooper, huh? Yeah.
Big Coop did not take a visit to Alabama this weekend. Now, his teammate, Justin Mescal, did. There were some question. A lot of Bama sites were reporting that they were both coming. Cooper said that he was not going to go to Bama because he was committed to Florida State and didn't feel like going. And so he didn't. That's a good sign because Robert Cooper is a hell of a nose tackle prospect and a top 100 kid, and he's committed to you. That's definitely a good thing. I think FSU would like to get his teammate Mescal on campus there at South Gwinnett up in Snellville. Anyway, moving on here. Asante Samuel Jr. You want to feel old again, Ingram?
Thank you, bud. Thank you. Yeah.
Asante Samuel Jr.
Yeah, that is hard to believe. That is hard to believe. But that's just how it works. Is he a STA kid? Do I remember correctly?
Yes. Yeah, okay. He is. Can you think of the short corners FSU has offered, like, in their history?
You got to be special. Absolutely. It's limited.
Greg Reed.
Check.
LaMarcus.
Check.
Levante.
Check.
I'm trying to think of anybody else who was
5'9
or shorter.
No. And you better be some kind of turbocharged or just freak of a player to get an offer at that size. And so far, certainly was the case of the three people that we talked about.
So I think Samuel might be the fourth short corner that FSU takes in FSU in Jimbo Fisher's tenure. Man, he is technically sound. He's Velcro. Very quick. I don't know what his top end is. I want to see like what he ran in the 40, but man, transitions, hips, instincts. He's clearly been well coached. That's a guy who can be a very good college football player. I'll let the NFL worry about his size. Now,
right.
I don't want to do that too often because then you get a team of midgets, and that's not what you want. But, you know, if you take a couple, not per class, but a couple on your roster who can really cover, that works. Got to see Isaiah Bolden. The kid out of Wesley Chapel, played for First Coast, or not First Coast, but I forgot what school he was at in Jacksonville, but he was at Jacksonville for a year. Great length, obviously 6'2", 175. I'm beginning to think he's more of a safety prospect than a corner, just as he continues to grow and as his body grows. But he's an FSU commit and a good one. I think certainly a top 25 safety prospect nationally, no doubt. Trying to think who else. Got to see Coyote Oyedel.
Popular name recently.
Yes, yeah. A new FSU defensive end commit out of Miami Edison from Nigeria. The last time I saw him, which was like last year at FSU's camp, he was terrible. But it made sense because he had never played a down of football before. And I was like, man, some of these kids who are beating him are just scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm not trying to call high school kids scrubs, but you get my point. Prospects.
Yeah, right.
This year, much different. He won a couple reps against a kid that's committed to Miami, offensive lineman. Kid had to rip his shirt to stop him one time. 6'4", 236. Just, man, he's got grades, finishing up classes so we can enroll early. And I think he could fit in nicely in that maybe the Jacob Pugh role or maybe in sort of the Brian Burns role. I don't think he's got the frame to be like a 270 type, right? He's already really jacked at 235. So that's encouraging. Amari Gaynor, linebacker out of Childs in Tallahassee, rated as the number 22 outside linebacker in the country. That is nonsense. There are not 22 better outside linebackers in the nation. I don't think there are 10. this kid should get a big bump up in the ratings. He's picking up, I think, every offer nationally. FSU's already offered him. Alabama offered him last night. I think USC popped him. So 6'3", 210, a lot of length, excellent quickness. You really think there's 22 better linebackers in the country than him? I don't, personally. Those kids don't grow on trees. FSU is still, I think, way out in front for him. Wants to take his visits, wants to actually go through the process. But ultimately, I don't. FSU doesn't lose many Tallahassee kids that it wants for a good reason. And I think he'll be a Noel.
That'll be interesting. Not necessarily, you know, Charles is a good school, but not necessarily a pipeline for talent. Consistently, I'd be interested to see what Florida State does with that kid. All indications is that he, as you mentioned, kind of wants to go through the process, wants to take a good, honest look at what's out there, but would expect Florida State to probably add him to the class eventually. Let's see, Bud, I'm just looking over here. I know we talked about most people. The Stacy Kirby kid, a defensive end out of Orlando, somebody that I've seen more collective talk about recently. Any idea of what you've seen from him so far?
That commitment surprised me a little bit, Ingram. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think FSU is going to stop recruiting a position.
Okay.
All right.
I see what you said there.
Okay. You know, just interesting. Couple of names here that I want to throw out to people who they should start following. The best receiver at the Miami event was a kid named Dominic Watt, in my opinion, out of MacArthur High School in Hollywood. Big, fast, caught the ball, got that dog in him. Kid I like a lot, and I think FSU definitely would like to get him in camp. Kevin Austin Jr. is another receiver out of there, out of North Broward Prep. We talked about him last year, if you guys go back and listen to our Jimbo Fisher, I think, July camp episode. Remember, his dad played for Michigan State. A kid that we said keep an eye on as an underclassman. Well, now he's an upperclassman, so excellent player there. And then there's a kid named Jarvis Ware out of Wakaiva, which is, I think, between like Orlando and Jacksonville, kind of no man's land. He was playing corner at the event. I think he could play corner or safety. One of the ways I like to look at DBs at these events is I try to keep my camera focused on the receivers who I know are ballers, follow them, and then see who screws up their reps, right? And because otherwise, like, you know, maybe the if you go to the DB, it's tough to follow them sometimes.
Right.
Jarvis Ware screwed up like 5 or 6 reps by Brian Hightower, who's like a 5-star at IMG, Josh Moore, who's a high 4, Elijah Moore, kid out of St. Thomas. He messed up a lot of people's reps. So that's a kid I think FSU is going to look at. I don't know if they're going to have room for him in the class, but I do know that, A, Southern Miss is an excellent scouting staff, and they are especially their DC, and they're the only school that's offered him. Oregon's going to come down and look at him over the spring. I think he'll go to FSU's camp. Interesting player to keep an eye on there. I don't know. It's been a pretty good rundown, I think, of the last couple of weeks.
Certainly, in my opinion, Bud had a little bit of roster talk last podcast. Podcasting in general is never like the preferred median of like breaking news, for example. It's just not a great tool for that, and that's not necessarily what we were claiming to do. But if you listen to the podcast, you had a lead as far as what you might see, and you've had some formal confirmation of a little bit of turnover at the center position on the roster.
Indeed. Yeah, Ryan Hofeld, we were correct on that, did decide to give up football. Looks like he's going to have a job in medical sales. So congrats to him. That's a good career.
That can be a very, very lucrative field. One of my best friends has done that and done exceptionally well for himself. So best to you, Ryan.
Indeed. And I know we have some medical sales reps who listen to our podcast, actually. So pretty cool there. Other kids we want to talk about real quickly, because I know we're kind of up against it. Nadab Joseph out of Miami Edison, LSU commit at safety or corner. I don't know if you saw this or not. Kid's got a pretty good little sense of humor, and people were asking him how committed is he to LSU, and he said that he is 82% committed to Ingram.
82. I like the specificity in which he decided to give a number there.
It's a rather stupid question, so I like that he gave it kind of a flippant answer. And then he was like, why? And he's like, well, I just like 82. And then he said, but Georgia is now ahead of Florida State for my second place school. Mm. So now we are committed, but we have a second and a third place school. And so I threw it back at him. I was like, so does that mean Georgia's like 11 and FSU's like 7? You know, for the other 18%. And he didn't really get it at first. And then he was like, okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You know, maybe 10 and 8. Do you remember a kid named Stuart Reese from, I think, two cycles ago? He was a big offensive tackle, real heavy kid, kind of slow feet, super nice kid out of Fort Pierce Central. We talked about him a couple times as a kid that FSU, you know, may offer as like kind of a backup plan.
Sounds familiar. I can't say I remember a detail, but that name does sound familiar.
His little, and this is one reason why you never want to be a jerk to kids. His little brother's really good. He's a linebacker. Huh. He's listed as a safety on most sites. Trust me, he's a linebacker. He's 6'2", 215 already. I was very impressed with him at the Orlando camp. He's a kid that I think FSU is going to continue to evaluate and may pop a full offer to, maybe over summer camp or maybe in spring. And that's a guy to potentially watch there as somebody who could be added to FSU's class at the linebacker position. I liked him. Another name to keep an eye on, linebacker safety Jamian Sherwood. He's out of Jensen Beach. That's a name I've heard from a lot of college coaches recently that they like a lot. So keep an eye on him. FSU may be, you know, more involved there. And then there's a kid out of South Dade, previously of Keysgate Charter, which is also in Homestead, Patrick Joyner. He's listed as a DN. I think FSU likes him in kind of that jack role, the Jacob Pugh, more stand-up outside backer type role. Really nice get-off in the Miami camp. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, the Joyner kid out of South Dade, that's somebody that I've seen written about a couple times recently as well. But anybody else that you would want to reflect on from your recent travels or kids that have made their way to Florida State Junior Day recently?
Oh, I want to talk about quarterbacks real quick. A lot of people are worried about the quarterback recruiting. And by a lot of people, I mean a lot of readers and listeners, not people I talk to inside FSU's program. So I thought about it and I said, okay, I've been to 3 pretty major camps so far. How many kids at these camps have been better talent-wise than James Blackman, who FSU signed this last year? And I think the answer is 1. Justin Fields, who's up your way in Kennesaw, Georgia, committed to Penn State.
Right.
FSU's not offered him yet. We'll see if they do, if they can get him down to camp. Certainly a lot of schools are recruiting him. He's also an excellent baseball player, apparently like a legit baseball prospect. Although he says he doesn't plan to play baseball in college. I guess we'll see about that. But, you know, some other kids were good. They're fine. Joe Milton is a kid to watch out of the Orlando area. I know a lot of people were very enthused about him at the Orlando camp. And, you know, I never want to speak negatively about recruits, right? Especially because there's so much growth to be had. And kids do get better. He was very good in the drills portion. I did not think he was good in the half-skeleton 7-on-7 portion. You know, had a number of, I think, disappointing misses. I'm going to look to see this summer if he starts getting better and quicker at going through progressions, if the release quickens up. He had a good day at Jimbo's camp last year as a junior. We'll see what he does as a senior. Miami took Arthur Satowski out of the IMG Academy. And I think a lot of FSU fans were like, oh my God, FSU should have offered him when he came up for junior day. I disagree. I don't think they should have offered him. You have a kid in Satowski who's got a lot of physical tools. I mean, he's got The arm is there. It's very strong. But his junior film is horrible.
Yeah, it's not there. I mean, it's not there. I'm not some recruiting expert, certainly not quarterback expert, but when I looked at what was available to look at that kid as far as his actual tape, I did not, you know, big prospect from Pennsylvania coming down to IMG, always going to interest people. I can see the hesitation to go full in on that kid. I can.
Maybe you offer him in spring. You know, if he goes through IMG spring and you talk to your sources at IMG and they tell you, yeah, look, there were just some things at his old school that they had screwed him up and we got him fixed and they're honest with you. And, you know, he's like, hey, we think he's a lot better now. Maybe take their word for it. But offering that kid in February and potentially taking a commitment from that kid in February, which could scare off other quarterbacks, he has not shown himself yet to be an FSU quality QB. And there's a difference right now in Miami recruiting and FSU recruiting, even at the QB position. And you really don't want to. Jimbo is stubborn at offering QB sometimes. He does want to wait to work with him a lot of times. That's not a bad thing. He's very good with quarterbacks. It's one of his major strengths. Another QB to kind of keep an eye on here. Do you remember Tate Martell from last year?
Yeah, the Bishop...
Bishop Gorman kid.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Now, his backup could have transferred but didn't, named Dorian Thompson Robinson. And he's 6'1", 6'2", a real dual threat type kid. He actually included FSU in his top 10 as one of three schools in his top 10 who has not actually offered him. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm going to make a top 10. Here's basically my top 7 plus these three schools who I really want an offer from. That's a kid to watch as well, especially if they get him in for camp. But yeah, that's kind of the rundown there.
So quarterback's interesting. It's and you did a good little synopsis there as what's out there. I think a lot of people's anxiety stems from the fact that you didn't sign out like a 5-star kid last year. We certainly talked about that, two prospects that you had and how they skill set differed. And the fact that you don't have some major prospect committed and that there's one in the state next to you who happens to be committed to your biggest end conference rival. I think that's where a lot of this stems from. If Trevor Lawrence was a kid from California and was committed to USC, I think people would feel a little bit different about the situation in general. People are always going to want the next Jameis Winston, not want the next, 5-star all everything quarterback. But I do think the fact that Clemson, what they brought in over the past 2 years and what they have in Lawrence, is a contributor to people's angst when it comes to evaluating what is coming down the pipeline for Florida State.
Indeed. And look, I'm as big of a champion of recruiting rankings as anybody, and they are really accurate, especially at the end of the cycle. Early on, they're not very good. They're incomplete, right? And they're essentially put out early to sell subscriptions to recruiting sites because you have to put a ranking on these kids so that people continue to buy subscriptions in March. But quarterback is the one position, I think, above all else, that is the toughest to scout because there are so many variables you cannot, account for. And Jimbo has consistently produced good QB play and sometimes great QB play, right? I'm very rarely, if ever, worried about quarterback under Jimbo. I'm just not. Now, Malik Henry was a bad miss. Obviously, but we talked about that a couple episodes ago. If people want to go back and listen about that, you can't really second guess it. You have to first guess it, and you have to understand what FSU knew about Henry and his problems and when. And at the time, I do think they were justified in taking him. Now, maybe you should have taken somebody else along with him, like handcuff a Sean McGuire with him or something like they did with Jameis. But, overall, I'm not worried about QB recruiting, guys. I'm just not.
Yeah. It'll in all likelihood resolve itself, and it'll obviously be something we continue to look at, and you'll be able to find conversation surrounding the quarterback position here. But you know, with that, we will probably bring an end to this. Just kind of look forward to or look ahead to 2018 and some of the kids that you've recently seen, some of the kids that have been to Florida State's camps, and some of the kids that you'll be hearing about over the next next 10 or 11 months. But always enjoy these. Want to thank our sponsors again, Louisiana Hot Sauce and Madison Social / For the Table Restaurant Group, and what they make possible and allow us to be able to cover this team and this program 365 days a year. So unless you've got anybody else on board that you want to mention, this will probably bring about an end to today's podcast.
It will definitely bring about an end because I got to go catch a flight.
Good deal. Well, you're off to the airport. Best to you, sir. We'll talk next week sometime. Have a podcast that is dedicated almost exclusively to spring, and we'll look at the roster and look at what particularly people on the roster have to do to find themselves at the top of their prospective places on the depth chart as Florida State moves to its 2018 season. So, Bud, always appreciate your time. To any of the listeners who find time to share this, whether it be a traditional word of mouth or any platform on social media, that's always very much appreciated by us. And with that, we will bring about an end to this episode of the Nolcast.
All right, guys, take care.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. I get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty, you'll see.